Praise the Lord, everybody, and hallelujah. Amen. Well, we're going to sing Keep On Walking by Faith as we go into Matthew chapter 21. In case you're wondering how I feel great. I've got to clear my head a little bit, but don't we all? Amen. Other than that, I feel very, very good. So I'm glad to be here to be able to worship with you. And if my voice cracks a little here and there, we'll just try and put up with it, I hope. Maybe the content will make up for the inability. Anyway, let's sing that chorus, Keep On Walking by Faith. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. Just keep on walking by faith. I know He won't deny me. He's walking right beside me. Keep on walking by faith. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, that was good, but it needs to be a little bit better. So, we're going to sing that. Thank you, Brian. We're going to sing that chorus. I'm going to sing until the power of the Lord comes down. Now, you don't need to know the words because they'll come to you. All right? I'm going to sing until the power of the Lord comes down. I'm going to sing till the power of the Lord comes down. Lift up your hands. Be not afraid. I'm going to sing until the power of the Lord comes down. I'm going to sing the power of the Lord comes down. I'm going to sing until the power of the Lord comes down. Lift up your hands. Be not afraid. I'm going to sing until the power of the Lord comes down. I'm going to sing till the power of the Lord comes down. I'm going to sing till the power of the Lord comes down. Lift up your hands. Be not afraid. I'm going to sing until the power of the Lord comes down. Let's give the Lord a hand praise. Yes. Hallelujah! Praise the Lord! Now that's good. Amen. And it'll get better. We are opening to Matthew chapter 21. We're calling this message this morning, Stones of the Kingdom. Stones of the Kingdom. I hope I've got your curiosity up. We're going to open with a prayer because we need the Lord. Father in heaven, we are here today because we need to hear Thy word, O Lord. We need to be quickened in the Spirit. Lord, we know that Thy coming is at hand. We know this world is crumbling apart. We know that everything is falling around us, and yet we feel confident in Thee. Thou art our anchor, our hope, the joy of our salvation. Thou, Lord Jesus, art the King of kings and the Lord of lords. And I pray now that Thou wouldst breathe upon us with the power of Thy Spirit. Let the Holy Ghost come in, O Lord, into every heart within the hearing of this voice, within the hearing of this message, both in this assembly and all over the world through the internet and all the subsequent recordings that are made. Lord, let Thy power come down. Let Thy healing virtue flow. Lord, let every devil be driven out. Let every evil spirit be gone. And let Thy name, Lord Jesus, be lifted up in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. O Lord, let Thy power be manifested. Let Thy gifts of the Spirit come forth, O God. And let all be done according to Thy will and to the glory of Thy holy name. Give us now ears to hear, and let Thy message come forth, O God, that it would quicken us now and make us alive in the Holy Ghost, that we might harmonize with heaven. And we ask it in Jesus' name through the power of the blood. Amen. Amen. We are in Matthew chapter 21. And of course, the occasion is Jesus has just arrived in the city of Jerusalem. The triumphal entry. Remember, He came in on a donkey. He came into the city of Jerusalem and a number of things happened, and we're going to digress back to that later, but we're starting in at verse 23. Matthew 21:23. And when He was come into the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came unto Him as He was teaching and said, "By what authority doest Thou these things? And who gave Thee this authority?" Why, they thought they were the authority, and they didn't give it to Him. Isn't it amazing how presumptuous people can be? We need to realize there's an authority far higher than anything on this earth. There's an authority far higher than those goofballs on the Supreme Court. Amen. Come on. Saying it's all right to kill babies. Well, there's a court that is far more supreme than this one. Verse 24 says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing." Now remember, back in those days, it was proper etiquette where if you were asked a difficult question, you could ask the asker first. That was considered common etiquette. If you threw a hard question at me, I wouldn't have to answer you until you answered one for me. I could ask a qualifying question. All right? That was just normal procedure. So it says, "And Jesus answered and said unto them, I also will ask you one thing, which if ye tell me, I in likewise will tell you by what authority I do these things." Fair enough, right? The baptism of John, was it from heaven or of men? And they reasoned with themselves, saying, "If we shall say from heaven, He will say unto us, why did ye not then believe Him?" Isn't it amazing? These people, they paint themselves into a corner. They get themselves into a situation they can't give you a straight answer. They have to connive and plan and pick it apart and try to figure out and be careful how they answer. The wonderful thing about truth is you lay it out on the line. And they went on and thought, "But if we shall say of men, we fear the people, for all hold John as a prophet." What are they going to answer Him? And they answered Jesus and said, "We cannot tell. We don't know." They became agnostic there. "We don't know." Well, "And He said unto them, neither tell I you by what authority I do these things." If you can't give me a straight answer, then I'm not going to give you an answer at all. "But what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, 'Son, go work today in my vineyard.' He answered and said, 'I will not.' But afterward he repented," thank God for repentance, "and went. And he came to the second and said likewise. And he answered and said, 'I go, sir,' and went not." whether of them twain did the will of his father. They say unto him the first. Jesus saith unto them, verily I say unto you. Now remember who he's talking to. All of the respected religious leaders with their fancy garments on, leaders of the temple. Notice what the Son of God says to them. Verily, I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots, the whores off the street, right, go into the kingdom of God before you. Wow. Who's going to get the worst of it when judgment comes? How about all of these leaders up there? How about these Rick Warrens and all of these characters? I'm telling you, they're going to get the worst of it. Amen. For John came unto you in the way of righteousness, and ye believed him not. But the publicans and the harlots believed him. And ye, when ye had seen it, repented not afterward, that ye might believe him. In other words, you saw the effect of the gospel, the conversion that it had on the worst of the people, and it had no effect on you. Here another, wouldn't that, when I see a life change, it affects me. This is what we want. Amen. This is why we're here. Amen. Here another parable. There was a certain householder which planted a vineyard and hedged it round about and digged a wine press in it and built a tower and let it out to husbandmen, and went into a far country. And when the time of the fruit drew near, he sent his servants to the husbandmen, that they might receive fruit of it. And the husbandmen took his servants, and beat one, and killed another, and stoned another. You see the parallel he's drawing here. That vineyard is Israel. Prophets were sent to them. And what did they do to the prophets? You know, people have always wanted religion, but they've never wanted the truth. It always had to be their way. Our president is a very religious man. He's a baby-killing liar, but he's a very religious man. Satan is religious. You know, the greatest lover of these cathedrals and these monastic orders and all of this religion out there is Satan. I'll never forget what my doctor told me one time. I was talking to him, and he said the reason people make idols is because it's a sign that they don't know who God is. So you look at all of this that's built up, it's a declaration of their ignorance of the true God. All these big church buildings and cathedrals, all of this religious stuff that's out there, all the idols, all the ritual, is a declaration of ignorance that they don't know the Lord. The Most High dwelleth not in temples made with hands. Amen. If man built it, God doesn't live there. Again, he sent other servants more than the first, and they did unto them likewise. But last of all, he sent unto them his son, there's Jesus, right? Saying, they will reverence my son. Yes, the prophets, as great as they were, that was one thing. But the very Son of God, the creator of the universe in the form of a man, certainly they'll reverence him. They'll honor him. They'll respect him. But when the husbandmen saw the son, they said among themselves, this is the heir. Come, let us kill him and let us seize upon his inheritance. You know, there is such evil in the heart of men. You cannot imagine what a dirty bunch the people are that are running this world. They are up to absolutely no good all the time. They don't care about anybody except their elite group. And they're going to micromanage you if they can. They're going to determine what you eat, what you drink. They're going to determine what you do for your health. You know, I just got a letter from the county sent to the church asking me to tell all of you to go and get your swine flu shots. Boy, did they send that letter to the wrong person. Shall I send them one back? I believe in answering letters, don't I? Sometimes you have to bat the bee's nest. Praise the Lord. I've also gotten 3 letters now from the census office in Oshkosh wanting me to recruit people to help with the census. And 3 letters. And, you know, they need one back too, don't they? Boy, I'm busy. You wouldn't believe how busy the devil keeps me. He's constantly causing trouble and grief and this and that. And you got to keep plugging holes and trying to fix things up and trying to help people. The Census Bureau did offer anybody here a job. If you want to go and knock on doors, they're anticipating that 45% of the people will not respond to the census. Therefore, their door has to be knocked on. And they're willing to pay you $13 an hour. Why not 14? Or 12? $13. It's all occult. You know, I've preached this for 28 years. I've been exposing the occult side of this thing. And I've been preaching the gospel for 40 years now, but I've been exposing the occult for 29 years, actually. And I still have trouble getting people to believe that this whole thing runs on occult power. Right. How many times do you run into that number 13? And sometimes 11. Which, of course, is the Aquarian number, showing the Aquarian age that we're in. They use numbers. It's their religion. They're invoking spirits to come and help them. Well, they needn't contact us. But in a way, I'm kind of glad they send me the letters. I can keep tabs on them. But anyway, here these evil people are saying, this is the heir, let's kill him. And they caught him and cast him out of the vineyard and slew him. When the Lord, therefore, of the vineyard cometh, what will he do unto those husbandmen? Now the Pharisees listening to this didn't get it. It didn't register with them that he was talking about them. They say unto him, he will miserably destroy those wicked men. They just condemn themselves. And will let out the vineyard unto other husbandmen. We'll go to the Gentiles. Huh? Which shall render him the fruits of their seasons. And you know, when we praise the Lord and lift up our hands and worship, this is fruit unto God. This is harvest. This is wonderful. It's a sweet savor unto the Lord as you worship him. Jesus saith unto them, did ye never read in the scriptures, the stone which the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. This is the Lord's doing, and it is marvelous in our eyes. He's referring back to Psalm 118, where David prophesied this. The stone that the builders rejected. You know, when a building would be built, they would take the best stone. The one with the perfect symmetry. Not a chip or a crack in it. And use it for the cornerstone. And here he's saying, and it came from prophecy, now it's being fulfilled, because Jesus is that chief cornerstone. But as perfect as he is, in every way, and all the miracles that came forth, perfect truth, perfect teaching, raising the dead, healing the sick, feeding the 5,000, casting out devils, doing nothing but good, 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 good. They rejected him. In favor of their own system, which was corrupt, the perfect cornerstone wouldn't fit in. So that which was evil pronounced that which was perfect as being unfit. And they rejected him. And so this was the prophecy, and Jesus is reminding them of it. The stone that the builders rejected, the same has become the head of the corner. How could that be? How could a rejected stone ever be the cornerstone? It's God's building, amen, not man's. Amen. Therefore say I unto you, the kingdom of God shall be taken from you. Can you imagine? You could lose this and that in your life, whatever you would lose, that's one matter. But to have the kingdom of God taken from you, once you had it, and this is what he told them, and given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And whosoever shall fall on this stone, I want to tell you, I'm glad for the day that I fell on that stone. Amen. It hurt. Amen. Repentance hurts. When you see how you are, you know, most people, they have this image they paint of themselves as being not such a bad guy. Everybody thinks of themselves as pretty good unless they're really deranged. Or if they gloat in their evil. You know, there are people like that. But, you know, when you look at this, and you look at yourself, and you got a true picture, God gave you a picture of what you really are. It's devastating. In the light of his righteousness, and you see how evil and inadequate and every evil thing you ever did or thought or said all comes back to you in a flood, it'll tear you up. You deplore your own weaknesses, making the same mistake over and over and over and over again, and no power to get out of that loop. Whatever it is, there's many, many, and very different things. But you know, when you fall on that rock and are broken, he puts you back together again. Everybody's going to have something to do with the rock, Christ Jesus. Either you're going to fall on that rock and be broken, and you will break. We're very breakable. But God can repair us and make us a new creature. But if you don't fall on that rock will fall on you. As he says here, and whosoever shall fall on this stone shall be broken. But on whomsoever it shall fall, it will grind him to powder. That is the ultimate judgment of God. And I'll tell you what, it's coming. It's coming. Now, and when the chief priests and the Pharisees had heard his parables, now they finally got it. They perceived that he spake of them. Why, how dare he? Huh? But he's God. And when they sought to lay hands on him, they feared the multitude because they took him for a prophet. As much as they hated him, they couldn't do anything. They're afraid of the people. See, these elitists, these illuminists, they're afraid of the people. They realize if the people out here would ever wake up and realize how poisoned they are, how deceived they are, you know, and in every phase of life, they built these massive hospitals, UW Hospital, that abortion center down here. 1.2 million square feet. Massive structure. All the doctors, the nurses, the equipment, all the technology. You have to feed that big beast. You've got to get people in there. If people don't get sick on their own, you got to make them sick. You have to fluoridate their water. You have to chlorinate their water. You've got to give them BPAs, put everything in plastic, and so they can absorb the stuff into their system. You got to give them cancer. You got to give them arthritis. You got to give them all these diseases. You've got to fill up those hospitals. It's a matter of industry. You have to have patience. Well, you've got Pfizer and Squibb and Eli Lilly and all these. They've got skyscrapers. How can you build? Hey, you can get rich on games like they play. Come up with a drug and say, everybody needs it. All the children in school have attention deficit disorder. Well, look at the junk they're feeding them. And the things that they look at constantly. You know, these children don't have a chance. Only God can save them, take them out of that system. Amen. We are on a collision course of destruction in this nation and in this world. And the Lord sees it all. And that rock is coming, and it's going to grind to powder all of those who have not fallen upon the mercy and grace of God, to fall upon that rock and then to be rebuilt is such a glorious thing. Nevertheless, Jesus Christ is called the rock. He's the rock of our salvation. Amen. And it's a glorious thing. The chief cornerstone. Now, let's look at something else. Let's go back in the book of Matthew to chapter 3. And we're going to find out that not only is Jesus our rock, but he also makes us lively stones. Now I want to ask you something. What is more inanimate than a rock? Now don't take this for granted. What is more inanimate than a rock? It's minerals that are formed through pressure and so forth. I'll get back to that later, but there's no life in it. It's a rock. How could it be alive? How many of you have pet rocks? And give them names. I hope not. Otherwise, I got to talk to you. There's nothing more lifeless than a rock. How can a rock be alive? How could God use such an analogy? Well, let's look at something once. In Matthew chapter 3, there was a man who appeared on the scene, seemed to come from nowhere, from out in the deserts, John the Baptist. Now, all the religious pomp and ceremony and quietness of the synagogues and quietness of the temple, everything was so sedate. Very, very, very quiet. That was religion. And all of a sudden, this guy comes along, and he's not dressed very properly, as far as some people would say. Camel hair and a leather belt. Comes out of the desert. Who is this guy? John the Baptist. It says in those days, Matthew 3, verse 1, in those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye. You mean he would come into a church setting and tell people to repent? These are church people. Do they need to repent? Hey, if you haven't, you need to. It's that simple. I don't know about you, but I think occasion of repentance comes along from time to time. People say, oh, repent, I did that once. You know, some people say, well, you know, okay, repent, well, that's when I go to confession, tell the priest all my trouble. And he tells me to say the Hail Marys and whatever instructions he gives me, and I go away feeling like it's paid for. No, that's not repentance. Repentance is a complete change of heart. Not just a change of mind, not a ritual. You're broken on the rock. And saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. For this is he that was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make his path straight. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leathern girdle about his loins, and his meat was locusts and wild honey. Then went out to him Jerusalem and all Judea and all the region round about Jordan. Boy, did he attract a crowd. And were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. That's what gives baptism the power. When the sins are yielded up to God and the name of Jesus is called over you. But when he saw many of the Pharisees and the Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers. You might say he didn't sound very nice. He was very appropriate. Amen. He called them vipers because they were full of venom. And it was a generation of vipers. Who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth, therefore, fruits meet for repentance. I want to see evidence of repentance, is what he's saying. And think not, now watch, this is the verse we're looking for. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. There's that old Judaism thing. People say, if you're a Jew, you're saved. Oh, now really? So no Jews were ever lost? How about Korah and his bunch where the ground opened up and swallowed them? Huh? You see how ridiculous that is? That all Israel shall be saved. All Israel shall be saved, but all they that are of Israel are not Israel. And so we understand that it's always Israel of faith. Israel in the spirit. Israel through the covenant made to two, Abraham and Jesus. And of course, the Abrahamic covenant was absorbed by Jesus Christ into a new covenant. A lot of people haven't figured that one out yet either. And think not to say within yourselves, we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, that God is able of these stones to raise up children unto Abraham. They looked around, they saw those rocks laying there. laying on the ground, said God could raise them up as children of Abraham. Those rocks, they come in all sizes and shapes and fragments and broken and all different types of them, but God could raise them up as children unto Abraham. And God is not being facetious. He could do it too. If he could form man out of the dust of the ground, his power is limitless. It's his breath that made you a living soul. And we need to remember that. Praise the Lord. You know, it's really amazing. Because when you get into, let's go over to Luke and follow up on this. In Luke chapter 20, pardon me, 19, let's go to 19. Luke 19. And here it was the triumphal entry. Remember I said I digress back to that. And this is what we're going to do right now. In the 29th verse of Luke 19, it says, "And it came to pass when he was come nigh to Bethphage and Bethany, at the mount called the Mount of Olives, he sent two of his disciples, saying, Go ye into the village over against you, in the which at your entering ye shall find a colt tied, whereon yet never man sat. Loose him and bring him hither." How did he know there'd be a colt there? You know, we need to understand how great God is. We marvel at the little things that he does. And everything that you see and experience and feel, God made all of this. You know, last night on the way to prayer meeting, I was getting ready to walk out the door and I said to Shirley, "Just look at that little cockatiel we've got." Or you could have looked at the parrot too, but I happen to be right in front of Simon's cage, little cockatiel. So just look at that little tuft on his head, how it moves with the, depends how he feels, if he's happy or sad or excited. And look how he's painted up there. Why did he evolve those colors? And that, you know, evolve it? From what? That bird had a designer. Said, how could anybody look at that bird and not believe there's a God? The perfect design and every... It's amazing to me. Amen. How can anybody miss it?
That's right.
How can anybody look into the sky and say there's no God? I'll tell you, these people are not very smart. There's nothing dumber than a scientist. I'm telling you. You have to... You see, you'd never get that dumb unless you went to college. You've got to go to college to get that dumb. Now, verse 31 says, "And if any man ask you, why do you loose him? Thus shall ye say to him, because the Lord hath need of him." You might say, so, now I've heard these perverted preachers say, see, Jesus told his disciples to go and steal a donkey. How could he steal a donkey? The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. That donkey belonged to him. Furthermore, you know who your house belongs to? Belongs to the Lord. Your car belongs to the Lord. Whatever money you've got in your wallet belongs to the Lord. Amen. Everything you've got belongs to God. You don't own anything.
That's right.
And you know, it's a good thing to do when you pray is say, Lord, I commend all things into thy hands. Everything I have is thine. I thank thee for letting me use it. Because when you got here, you didn't have it. And when you leave here, you're not going to take it along. The Lord allows you to use it while you're here. When you look at it that way, it's a real peace, isn't it? Somebody tries to steal something or wreck something, and so you say, Lord, look what they did. They wrecked your car. They wrecked, you know? See? Yeah. And he'll help you with it. Praise the Lord. And they that were sent went their way and found even as he said unto them, had said unto them. And as they were loosing the colt, owners thereof said unto them, why loose ye the colt? And they said, the Lord hath need of him. And they brought him to Jesus, and they cast their garments upon the colt, and they set Jesus thereon. And as he went, they spread their clothes in the way. And when he was come nigh, even now, at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice. Isn't it great when the people of God rejoice and get vocal and praise God with a what? A loud voice. Hallelujah! What's the matter with that? Did I peg the meter? Glory to God. Amen. I see people shout and scream and holler and for all kinds of reasons. But it's not improper at all. God wants you to be vocal. He wants us to lift up our voices. People say, well, I can sit there and be completely mute, like a wart on a pickle. I can just sit there. God knows me. He understands. He wants you to rejoice. There is power in that. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen. So they begin to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen. Something was happening here. A singular event. And I'll explain it. But it says, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And of course, we know from the book of Matthew, they were shouting, Hosanna. Which means save now, save now. This was the first coming of Christ. That's what was happening. And he came on a donkey, riding into the city of Jerusalem. It was the first coming of Christ. Amen. Now the Pharisees didn't like that. Just like people don't like it when you talk about the second coming of Christ. But great rejoicing accompanied the first coming. In the midst of a world that was perverse and even the religious people were sedate and didn't really know him. You notice the similarity with today? And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. They wanted Jesus to rebuke his disciples because they were praising and worshiping. They're out of place. They're noisy. Disturbing the peace. There isn't any peace to disturb. Right? What they needed, what they had needed to be disturbed. And he answered and said unto them, I tell you, now listen to the words of the Savior, that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Amen. God will be worshipped. And then he wept over the city. But the whole point here is, again, the stones, these rocks, as John the Baptist said, God could raise up children unto Abraham from these rocks. And now Jesus said, if my people would be quiet, if they didn't cry out, the rocks will. With that thought in mind, let's follow through on this thought. Go with me to Acts chapter 4. Praise the Lord. Acts 4. we know that in chapter 3 there was a lame man who was born that way, had never walked in his life, and he was healed by Jesus Christ through Peter and John at Solomon's porch in the temple. Remember? He was there asking for alms, and Peter and John were going to the hour of prayer. It was 3 in the afternoon, ninth hour. And here was this man, and had never walked in his life. And when Peter and John walked up to him, the man was calling out for alms. And Peter and John said, "Look on us." And he thought they were going to give him a coin. He didn't know. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none." What a letdown, huh? You know, Peter wouldn't have made a very good pope because he didn't have any money. "Silver and gold have I none." None. None at all. Is there any pope could say that? "Silver and gold have I none." They've got nuns, but anyway. "But such as I have, give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And they took him by the hand, and his feet and ankle bones received strength. And the man who never walked in his life could walk perfectly. Amen. Didn't have to learn how. He was walking and leaping and praising God, and the religious leaders didn't like it. They didn't like anything. Especially the Sadducees. They were the meanest of the whole lot. Sadducees. They were sad, you see. But in chapter 4 of Acts, the disciples, the apostles here, are called to answer for their action. And it says, "And as they spake unto the people, the priests and the captain of the temple and the Sadducees came upon them, being grieved." It grieved them. They weren't a little irritated. They were grieved that they taught the people and preached through Jesus the resurrection from the dead. And they laid hands on them and put them in hold unto the next day, for it was now eventide. They spent the night in jail because they did a work of healing. "Howbeit many of them which heard the word believed, and the number of the men was about 5,000. I'd be willing to spend a night in jail if 5,000 were saved. Amen. Wouldn't you?
Yes.
"And it came to pass on the morrow that their rulers and elders and scribes and Annas the high priest and Caiaphas and John and Alexander." Boy, they got the whole bunch together, didn't they? This was a major problem for them. "And as many as were of the kindred of the high priest were gathered together at Jerusalem." This was the whole Sanhedrin court. This was a full court press here. "And when they had set them in the midst, they asked." Now here's these disciples sitting there. They didn't do anything wrong. Just doing the will of God. This big court, all this fancy, you know, with all of their so-called power and authority surrounding them. "When they had set them in the midst, they asked, 'By what power or by what name have you done this?'" They asked Jesus the same question, remember? "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost." It says Peter was filled. 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 Filled with the Holy Ghost. Whenever somebody is filled with the Holy Ghost, Jesus is there. That's His Spirit. "And said unto them, 'Ye rulers of the people and elders of Israel, if we this day Be examined of the good deed done to the impotent man, by what means he is made whole. Be it known unto you all, and to all the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised from the dead, even by him doth this man stand here before you whole. He's giving them the explanation. He's looking, I can just see him looking at the court, telling him. Almost as if to say to the court, what's your explanation? Why is this man walking? This is the stone. This is the stone. This is the stone of the kingdom, isn't it? This is the stone which was set at naught of you builders. You threw him out, which has become the head of the corner. Neither is there salvation in any other. How true it is, folks. There is no other way of salvation. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. No wonder these people write these tracts and books about you can't use the name Jesus. Came from pagan origin and all this. And you, okay, come on, just get out of my life. I don't have time for ignorance.
That's right.
If you're going to take that, you're going to throw the whole King James Bible out.
Right.
And then I got to believe you instead of the Bible. And I don't even like the looks of you. Amen. Verse 13 says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Every so often, not very often, most people can tell by the work that I do that whether it's of God or not, but once in a while somebody will question and say, where did you go to seminary? And I have the delight of telling them I didn't. Can't you tell? If I had, I'd be like all these other numbskulls out there. Came off the assembly line and assigned to a church someplace, First Church of the Frigid Air, whatever, where many are cold and few are frozen. No. God raises up his people. And he said, you can judge them by their fruits. God's got a people. Wisdom is justified of her children. They're going to be able to tell if you're preaching the word of God or not.
Amen.
And so I stand in confidence in that. So here, these people had a problem, these religious leaders. These are supposed to be fishermen, but listen to them talk. You wouldn't know it. Now, when they saw the boldness of Peter and John, they perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men. They marveled, and they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing against it. That's results. Nothing like results. Nothing like a miracle. But when they had commanded them to go aside out of the council, they conferred among themselves. See, that's what they have to do. Let's get together and have a huddle, you know? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? What are we going to do? Why not repent and just yield to God?
Right.
Get rid of the religion. A man was healed. A miracle took place. The power of God was manifested. Why not yield to that? Glorify the Lord. Saying, what shall we do to these men? For that indeed a notable miracle hath been done by them is manifest to all them that dwell at Jerusalem, in Jerusalem, and we cannot deny it. Well, well, well. But that it spread no further. Hey, that's what we want. We want it to spread.
Amen.
Let's have some more of those. How about some blind eyes being opened? How about some sickness just disappearing? And come on.
Amen.
But that it spread no further. You can hear Satan in this, can't you? In these men. But that it spread no further among the people. Let us straitly threaten them. That's what we'll do. We'll threaten them. You better shut up or we're going to get you. We'll find a misplaced comma on your tax return. Huh? I've had people say, you know, boy, they can get you if they want to get you. No, I'll tell you what, I'll be here as long as God has work for me to do.
Amen.
Some people say, how did you get away with this for 29 years, exposing all this stuff, and you're still doing it? Is there a God in heaven? But that it spread no further among the people, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. The name bothered them. That's where the power is, right? And they called them and commanded them not to speak at all nor teach in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. For we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So what do? They threatened them some more. You see what's happening here? Not only is Jesus Christ a stone that has been resurrected, he is alive. He is the ultimate chief cornerstone. Isn't it amazing how God would choose something like a rock to show life? Jesus is that living stone. But we who are filled with his Spirit, it's the Spirit that giveth life. When God formed man, he made him from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a living soul. When God made you a new creature, he made you a living stone. A living stone. Turn with me. Got a few minutes left. Let's put this all together now. We're talking about stones of the kingdom. To the book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, all the way down to verse 17. Well, I'll tell you what we'll do. We'll back up to 15. We need to do that. It says in Ephesians 2:15, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. Some people haven't figured that one out yet either. I believe in a spiritual Sabbath, folks. Every day of the week, I am at rest with God from my old works. For to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you, which were afar off, and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. How do you get to the Father? Only by the Spirit. Only by the Holy Ghost. That is your access to the Father. And didn't Jesus say, no man cometh unto the Father but by me. So who is Jesus? The Holy Ghost is the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens. A citizen is one who pertains to a city. I have a city of birth, and it's not on earth. As David said, this man was born there. Fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. You are a stone, a lively stone, in the living temple of God. And in the temple of God is his power, his presence, his spirit. Oh, to be in the temple. That temple is made of lively stones, as we'll see in a moment. In whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together. We are builded together for an habitation of God through the Spirit. God dwells and walks among us. Stones in the temple. Stones of the kingdom. Finally, in 1 Peter chapter 2, God gave me this message 20 minutes before I had to leave. I just didn't have any time to think about it much. And yet during the night, he kept speaking to me about lively stones. In 1 Peter chapter 2, it says in verse 3, if so be ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious, to whom coming as unto a living stone, living stone. Picture this, a stone that's alive. Disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. Ye also, now he's talking about you and I, as lively stones. Stones that have life in them. How is that possible? We've been breathed upon, folks. You know, did you ever work on a project and have somebody breathing over your shoulder? Say, quit breathing over my shoulder. Well, God is one that you want breathing over your shoulder. Breathing over both shoulders. And in each ear. And all over the place. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. What's a spiritual sacrifice? That's when the stone is alive and praising God and worshiping and magnifying the Lord, waving your arms, crying out. The rocks will cry out. You can do it in church. You can do it in your homes. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. Unto you therefore which believe, he is precious, but unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto also they were appointed. But Ye. He's talking about you now, so you want to listen. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation. There's the nation of Israel. You. A peculiar people. That means rare, precious. I guess there aren't very many of us. That ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Isn't this wonderful? You know, we need to put it together this way. We are stones made alive by the moving of the Spirit. Again, it would seem strange that something so inanimate could be an object of life. How are rocks formed? When I went to the university at Oshkosh, I spent some time in Harrington Hall, and they had a petrology department there. Petrology is the study of rocks and how rocks are formed. And I found it rather amazing. Rocks are formed two ways. There are hydraulic rocks formed by water, sediment, you know, and so forth, and pressure. And then there are igneous rocks formed, they're fire formed, volcanic and so forth. And the Lord spoke to me this morning and told me I was both. Because when I went down in the waters of baptism in Jesus' name, I was water formed. And then when I was filled with the Holy Ghost, I was fire formed. So God's lively stones are both hydraulic and igneous. They're formed by water and they're formed by fire. And that's what makes us alive. And no wonder God in prophecy back there in Ezekiel chapter 28 mentioned how Lucifer at one time walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Stones set on fire, formed in water through baptism in Jesus' name, formed in fire through the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We rise up as lively stones in the temple of God, constantly in the presence of God, because the Lord is in His holy temple. And we are told that we are to cry out, this world will not worship him. And some of the things they call worship isn't worship at all. And then you wonder, what are they worshiping? They're not worshiping him. They're worshiping devils in one form or another. This world does not worship God. So the stones need to cry out. You and I need to lead the way and show people how to worship. That we've got to make some noise. We were formed in the water. We were formed in the fire. And it's time to cry out. Why? There was a first coming of Christ and they cried out then. We are now at the time of the second coming of Christ. And it's time for the stones to cry out. In my mind of faith, my mind's eye of faith, I see him coming down the road. But this time it's through the skies on a white horse with the armies of heaven and all the angels of God. There was a first coming. It happened. It was a fact. And he's coming again. And stones are ready to cry. Stones are ready to cry out. And as we view His coming and embrace the prophecies, we cry out even now, welcoming Him back again. And we're going to worship Him now. Amen. As Dwayne gets ready to come back right now, let's pray and call upon Him. Father in heaven, Lord, help us now as we reach out to Thee, O God. Lord, let us be broken upon the true rock. Lord, put us back together and make us alive in the Holy Ghost. Lord Jesus, we yield to Thee now in this wicked world, Lord, that will not worship Thee. Lord, we're ready to cry out. We're ready to cry out, O God. Thank You, Jesus. Let Thy name be glorified, O God. Hallelujah. Let's worship Him. Amen. Oh, yes.